Welcome back to the Pick and Slip, where we pick our favorite NBA topic and slip them into your life. Follow us on Twitter at Pick and Slip Show.
Boom, boom.
And listen to all of our episodes on Spotify. Just look up Pick and Slip.
Search it up.
And what's going on, everybody? It's Gavin here. I'm here with Brayden, per usual.
Howdy. Oh, that was a bad voice crack.
That was a voice crack to start it off. But today we have quite a few things to talk about today. We're going to go ahead and probably start off with some news, and then we're going to debate our Anthony Edwards versus LaMelo Ball Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
It's been very close. I feel like previously it was LaMelo Ball completely.
Yeah. I mean, beginning of the season, all the rookies were performing good. James Wiseman was performing good. Anthony Edwards was doing a good job. LaMelo Ball looked great. He looked like a star player.
Yeah,
and that's now Anthony Edwards also looks like a star player.
If you want to go ahead and hop into it right now, I personally think that Anthony Edwards now, I would say he's rookie of the year over LaMelo.
I can see your case because he has played more games. LaMelo went out with an injury. But, I mean, think about what LaMelo adds to your team. You know, the passing, the rebounding. He's not a bad defender. He's passable on defense. He gives effort. His shooting has been way better than I thought it was going to be. Translated pretty well. But we'll save that for later.
Yeah.
Straight into NBA news. Last night, Pacers coach and Goga Bitadze got into it. A Pacers assistant coach. Do you remember his name? I don't have it off the top of my head.
Let's see.
But Goga Bitadze playing bad defense. It was Greg Foster. Greg Foster said something about him, and then Goga Bitadze cussed him out, and then Coach Greg Foster had to be held back by Miles Turner to avoid stepping onto the court and then also getting in a physical confrontation with Goga Bitadze. Pretty embarrassing as a Pacers fan. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it all the way. Rough.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the Pacers right now.
Pacers are a mess.
It's pretty rough for the Pacers. Pacers are just a giant, you know.
Yeah. Poop storm.
it's bad. Where the Pacers are right now is terrible, especially if you look. I mean, like, if you look over the past few years, they've always at least made the playoffs. They haven't made it to the second round, and I lost count now. I used to know, but I lost count. So I think it's like 4 years.
Yeah,
I think it's 4 years.
Like four straight round exits.
Yeah, it's like I think it's four straight. The last 4 years, they went out in the first round, and now they're not going to make the playoffs at all. If they did, they would probably be first round exits again.
Yeah.
And so it's bad. Like I say this every single time, but it was once like there was that Larry Bird as the GM, like that Larry Bird PG era. That was the last, like during there,
I mean,
they made the Eastern Conference Finals twice, but then towards the end of that, it started to, you know, we saw it die. Like, the whole era, that Pacers era at that point, last time the Pacers were really doing something, that little time period kind of died. Larry Bird ended up stepping down. There's some some disagreements, in the
locker
room.
All sorts going on. Didn't David West get traded? Danny Granger, I know that him getting traded really impacted the team chemistry. Really just made us a mess, which Danny Granger, I mean, it wasn't as if he was a big scorer or anything, that his absence hurt the team, but it was his locker room presence that really messed with us. And then ever since then, it's just been a downward spiral to the point where we might not even make the play-in tournament this year.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of this, I feel like the Pacers need to just go into rebuilding mode. That's what I feel like the Pacers. I feel like they should just go into rebuilding mode. I feel like they have Sabonis, they have Miles Turner, they have Caris LeVert, but that team's not going to take you far into the playoffs. Like, being realistic, it's not going to.
The unfortunate part, though, is that, like, it's not... I don't know how to explain. We are at a stage where we should be the 4 or the 5 seed.
Yeah.
We've been kind of ravaged by injuries this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Without them injuries, do I think we're in the playoffs? Yes. I think we're in the playoffs.
Also, I don't like that the House of Highlights video on it says that Pacers assistant Nate Bjorken was the one screaming. They called him the assistant coach when he's the head coach, and Greg Foster was the one that was upset, not Nate. So House of Highlights really got that one wrong with the title. It's just the Pacers, the players are all like 25, 26 years old, you know? So yeah. We're at kind of an age where if we were to tank for like 2 or 3 years, we could come back if we brought back all our players and we would have players in their prime. But then also, when you have as many solid 24, 25-year-olds, you're not going to be able to tank effectively.
Yeah.
There's like, it's not as if this team is super old and that we have 3 people over 30, Justin Holiday's one of them. The rest of the team, I mean, like, Caris LeVert in 3 years, he'll be 30 years old. DeMontis Sabonis will be 27. Miles Turner will be 28. I think Sabonis should leave. I've already made my views on that clear. But we kind of fit the timeline, but then also we're too good, I feel like, to tank effectively without either faking injuries. Or like this year was our best chance at a tank season, you know? Miles Turner's out. Sabonis missed some time. Caris LeVert was injured. And then we just kept winning games. And then now when it actually matters and it's like, all right, might as well grab a playoff spot. Now is when we lose. What's the point? Like, we could have had the 4, 5, 6 seed. Even if we would have got the 7 and been convincing in the first round of the play-in tournament and secured that playoff spot. But now that we're the 9 seed, we'd have to win 2 games to make it to the play-in tournament. Or to make it to the playoffs from the play-in tournament. Which, I think that it's a possibility. The team's not bad. It's not good either. The coaching's been kind of... I don't know. I'm just so confused looking at it.
I agree with everything you're saying. The Pacers... they're just in a very weird spot.
Yeah.
Because...
probably one of the weirder in the league.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like we're the only team with no direction.
Because it's like you said, we have so many young players. And it's hard to tank when you have a bunch of 24, 25-year-olds on the team, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's hard to... Especially if you need to tank for multiple years.
Especially players that have been in the All-Star conversation or Defensive Player of the Year conversation.
Yeah.
Like... Sabonis is a 2-time All-Star. 2-time All-Stars usually don't also miss the playoffs.
Yeah, especially if you have to tank for more than 1 year, right? Let's say to tank for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Minimum. There's a lot of teams that tank longer than that, but let's say 2 to 3 years. If you take those 2 to 3 years, we add them on to Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert's at least 29. You do 3 years, he's 30. Sabonis, 2 years. Do Miles Turner, 2 years. Caris LeVert, 2 years. Malcolm Brogdon, another 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, that Malcolm Brogdon will be 31, 32.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You're gonna get that young player eventually, right? But in time, the rest of your supporting cast or the rest of your players are going to age. And,
right.
You know.
Here's best case scenario for me, if this were to work in my ideal world, is we get the 9 seed this year. We win the first game of the play-in, lose the second, so we don't make the playoffs. But we present ourselves as strong, and then with a 0.5% chance, we win the lottery and draft Cade Cunningham. and then we're good.
That's the chances of that happening?
Slim, to put it lightly.
Absolutely.
Or I actually think that they did increase it to where the best team would get a 1.5 chance when they kind of messed with the draft lottery, where instead of having like a 30% chance, the bottom 3 teams all have 14% chances. I'm going to check that real quick. But, I mean, I'd love that. That'd be great if the Pacers could get even a top 3 pick. I'd go, wow, we're actually going to do something this year.
Yeah.
We don't have the 16th pick in the draft for the 8th year in a row. That'd be exciting.
Yep.
I'd love that. That's the one thing that I, like, kind of envy worse franchises for, like, or, like, lately worse franchises, like the Bulls. Well, they have messed up their draft lottery a couple times. They've had top 10 picks, and boy, I bet it feels nice to have a top 10 pick, you know?
Yeah.
To look at the draft and look at Kobe White coming to you and be like, I could see him. Or even just to I don't watch a lot of college basketball, partially because the teams that I follow typically are good enough to where I don't feel the need to watch college basketball. Because I'm like, oh, well, I'll see this dude in the league in a couple years. It's not. But now, like, I'm looking at, what was his name that just hit the buzzer beater for Gonzaga? Suggs? What was his first name?
I think I know who you're talking about, but yeah, I can't.
But he's going to be, like, a top 10 pick. Probably top 3, if I had to guess, based on his March Madness performances. Love if Pacers got a top 3 pick and grabbed that guy. That'd be incredible. I would love to see that guy running our shooting guard small forward. That's another thing, is that you look at our roster, and this is going to be the last thing I think I say about the Pacers, is you look at our roster, we have point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. Pretty much locked up. The only way would be if we either have, if we get a really good rookie, would either be to have that rookie come off the bench, which I don't know if I'd want to do that, or to send an established NBA starter to the bench. Like, if you bench TJ Warren or Caris LeVert, that's weird, you know?
Yeah.
So it'd have to be some sort of trade. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, excuse me. One thing we always say, I feel like every single time I'm talking about the Pacers, and we're probably going to continue saying it until it happens.
Right.
Sabonis, he's a better second option, in my opinion, than he is a first option.
Yeah.
I think you need a star player, maybe a player like Braden says this, a player like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be great for the Pacers. A player like Bradley Beal. I think it'd be great for the Pacers. Someone who can lead the team, and someone who has led an NBA team before.
Just if we were the Wizards, we'd be doing better.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to think about too, isn't it?
Yeah,
crazy.
So right now I'm looking at lottery odds on Tankathon.com. Great website, by the way. If you want to see which teams suck, Pacers right now have a 86.1% chance to grab the 12th pick in the draft, which not a bad draft.
That's
pick.
Not a bad.
Yeah,
I feel like anywhere from the 12th to 16th pick is where I tend to see the Pacers at.
Yeah, you know, if we were to, there's no possibility of us being in the top 10. But the way the draft works is that if we do not get the 11th pick, because there's a 0.1% chance we get the 14th pick, there's a 6.7% chance we get the 13th pick. And then an 86.1% chance we get the 12th pick. But then if we don't get the 12th pick or the 13th or 14th, we're guaranteed a top 4 pick. There's a combined like 8% chance we get a top 4 pick, which isn't bad odds. Like, there's been worse. And I mean, statistically, there's teams with a whatever percent chance to slip into the top 4. Chicago, Toronto, Sacramento, Washington, New Orleans, Indiana, San Antonio, and Golden State. I mean, one of us has to do it, you know? So, I mean,
yeah.
I like our odds. I'd love to slip, even if we get the 4th pick. Wow. That's like a franchise-changing pick, you know?
Yeah, it is.
We get the 1 seed, which is a 1.5% chance, which isn't good odds, but I'll take it.
I mean, can you imagine you still have Sabonis, Miles Turner, Caris LeVert, Malcolm Brogdon, all these players, right? All the young players. And then you get the 4th overall pick, make a nice draft pick, turns out to have a solid first year, keep all your players together.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, gives some bonus to him and Miles Turner.
You know what would be great for a young player? A young, like, top 4 pick,
what,
being in the playoffs the next year, having a team that can bring him to the playoffs the next year. It'd be great to just drop Cade Cunningham in the first round of the playoffs. That'd be fun.
Yeah. You know, one thing I think is also really good for a young player coming into the league.
What?
Being a small market franchise.
Yeah.
I think that a young player coming into the league on a team that came into playoffs, but it's a small market, not like Los Angeles. So he doesn't have all this, you know, shine. If he's playing on the Knicks or if he's playing on LA, he has all this pressure to do really good things. Like, look at Anthony Edwards playing in Minnesota. Look at LaMelo playing in Charlotte. Like, see how good they're doing?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's not due to the fact that they're just playing in Minnesota and Charlotte. They're great basketball players. I'm sure they do a great other teams. But there's still always that thing that maybe all that built-in pressure from playing on an LA team or a New York team or a team like that, pressure like that, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I definitely, but then also, I mean, they say pressure makes diamonds, you know?
Yeah, they do.
So, I don't know, if Washington and New Orleans both win their next game, we move up a slot to then have a 2.5% chance at the number one. So, what I'm saying now is we are rooting for Chicago, Toronto, Sacramento, Washington, and New Orleans, the Pacers are, as a fan base. Unless you want to make the playoffs, which I don't know why you would, we're not going to win anything. we're certainly not going far. But, hey, if we move up to the next seed, then we have a 0% chance of getting the 14th or 13th picks. We move up to where Washington is right now, 66% chance we get the 10th pick. That's a solid pick.
Yeah.
I would love a 10th pick. Or New Orleans, they have a 75.6% chance at getting the 11th. That's one more than 10, or that's one more than 12. We get to pick one player better? I don't know. I just want them to suck so bad. I just want them to be real bad.
Like, you want them to be good, but first you need them to be bad.
I need them to be bad to be good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been so rough to watch. And I mean, I think either we need to give Nate full control over his coaching staff or let Nate or get rid of Nate.
I think he didn't
bring anybody with him.
I think get rid of Nate. Personally, I like Nate McMillan. When Nate McMillan got fired, I did not like that move. I thought that Nate McMillan was a pretty good coach. Now, I know you were saying things that you didn't like the way he used the players, or you did not like the way he used Miles Turner.
Yeah, he was kind of an old school coach in a lot of ways, and that's kind of how he's been running with the Hawks too. And I actually think that the Hawks are a little bit better equipped for it because they have why can't I remember his name? The tall guy, Clint Capella. they have like Clint Capella and John Collins, more traditional bigs that they can run at the 4 and 5. And I think Nate's been having really good success with that.
Yeah. Like me personally, I still think we would have even, you know, despite all the injuries this year, I do believe that if we had still had Nate McMillan as our head coach, we would probably see more success on the team.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I do think because it's the same roster as last year pretty much. Except for last year we didn't have Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, if we swapped in Victor Oladipo and Caris LeVert, but they're both very similar in numbers.
Yeah, but last year we didn't even have Victor Oladipo for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So, I think that Nate McMillan carries this team to a 7 seed, 6 or 7 seed, and we at least make the playoffs and are competing in a first round. Is that better or worse than actually having a chance at a high draft pick? I don't know. Personally, I wish that we would be sitting Sabonis more and we would have told Caris LeVert to take more time off with his injury and just kind of told everybody to slow down. Let's win 5 less games and get the 9th pick. Something like that. But I'm not going to complain too much. I think that both coaches are good. I think that Nate Bjorken, I still can't say his name, Bjorkensen.
I can't say his name either, really. It's one of those names.
new Nate. I think he's a really solid coach. I think that he's not like a bad coach, you know, but he didn't bring anybody with him. This coaching staff is the same Nate McMillan had, but now there's new Nate, and now everybody's injured. They pretty much gave him the same team.
And maybe I'm going to say this. I'm going to ask you a question because I may be wrong about this. The new Nate, right?
Right.
I don't see him really ever being super vocal about anything.
No, he even when I'm just watching him, like, when he's on the sidelines, he's still not even, like, yelling at the players much.
I went to that Pacers. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but when the Pacers played the Blazers, I went to that game. Yeah. I saw Damian Lillard smack the side of the table and get that technical. You could hear that from where I was sitting. I was starting to, I mean, I'm sure it didn't hurt in the moment. That was a kind of a hard slap. We were sitting a little bit up. It was like the last row before low class, and he smacked the table and shook my seat a little bit.
Yeah.
it was intense.
He also got waved at by CJ McCollum.
I did, actually. I waved at CJ McCollum. He like came over right by the scores table and looked up, and me and my friend were there, and we kind of waved, and he just threw up the peace sign and threw up, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I'm like, did CJ McCollum just wave back? Because he looked directly at us and down like, did CJ McCollum, top five player all time, top three shooting guard in the league right now, just wave back at us?
All the faces in the classroom just looked towards you when you said top five player of all time about CJ McCollum. But
am I lying?
It's just quite strange, you know?
We'll see.
There was a Woj bomb. Oh, my goodness. Pacers are suspending assistant coach Greg Foster for one game and fining Gogo Patase for exchange on court Wednesday.
Oh, well, that's perfect. We're talking about the Pacers right now.
Yeah, we were talking about the Pacers.
That happened.
You were listening to Pick and Slip. That was a Woj bomb right there. Greg Foster suspended for one game. Gogo Patase fined. Yeah. Emotions are running high in Indiana, Adrian. This is the most coverage the Pacers have ever gotten.
Yeah.
It feels, you know what?
Feels good.
Hey, it's rough as a Pacers fan right now. At least people notice it's rough as a Pacers fan right now.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, I really do, as much crap as I talk about them as a unit, I do love this team. I really do love a lot of the players on the roster. I think Jeremy Lamb's great. I think Aaron Holiday's great. Our bench, TJ McConnell, Justin Holiday, our whole bench unit. Goga, he's all right. I don't know. Never really got the appeal. A lot of people like Goga. He's fine. But the other nine players that get playing time on the roster, really good. And I enjoy watching them. O'Shea Brissett, Cassius Stanley, great young, exciting rookies. Just overall, as a team, as a unit, I really like the team. I just don't know what we need to do, honestly. Yeah. We're again, like I said before, in one of the most confusing situations in the league.
Yeah. And I think what you just said right there, we can kind of wrap up Pacers thing. Because we have two things we're going to do. The next thing we're going to do real fast, because that was kind of a long Pacers rant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool because, you know, that's our hometown team.
Yeah, that's our team.
So right around the corner. It's fine. Yeah. So, next we're going to do LaMelo Ball versus Anthony Edwards, a little short debate. And then right after that, we have something real cool.
Last week, if you guys heard, I said Richard Jefferson was a top 15 player of all time. And Gavin disagreed. Gavin disagreed. And so I made my top 20 lit players of all time. Gavin brought his top 15, I believe.
I can do 20.
You feel that's 20? All right. We will be discussing that. It'll probably be pretty brief, just because this is mostly, I think, going to be used by Gavin to shame me for having Richard Jefferson. Because most of the players, you're probably going to be like, I understand why they have him in the top 20. Yeah, and like, I tried to arrange mine in order, but then also it's not like in order, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I know what you mean.
Because definitely I can look at it and then I can be like, I could see Kareem or Tim Duncan in the eighth spot, you know?
Yeah.
Have a correction. Okay. but so, moving forward, What were we talking? Oh,
Brooks. We're talking about how you're putting them in order. Some are in order.
They're not really in like order. Like I have LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, all top three. And then from 10 to 15, there's like Kevin Durant, Steve Nash, Bill Walton. They're all in there. You can put those in any order.
So do you want to do that or do you want to do the debate?
Let's now talk about
Anthony Edwards
versus LaMelo Ball. As we said earlier, LaMelo Ball has been playing incredible this season. He is averaging, let me pull up his numbers right now.
Yeah.
Somewhere around like 15 points, a lot of assists, pulling up the stats right now. Rookie year, both of them drafted at the 1 and 2 seeds, right? Or no, it was LaMelo went third.
LaMelo went third, James Wiseman went second.
Anthony Edwards went first. LaMelo Ball, 16 points per game, 6 assists per game, 6 rebounds per game. 37% from 3, 45% overall, shooting almost 80% from the free throw line. Effective field goal percentage, 52.4, very good. Efficiency rating, 18.5, very good. He's a dog. He is, I would say, the most complete player in the draft so far. We've seen him play solid defense, not great defense, solid defense. He's no Matisse Thybulle, but he's at least trying. You can tell that he's trying. He'll come up with really good steals every now and again. Outlet passing wizard, just like his brother Lonzo. I don't know what's in the water where they grew up, but my goodness, can they throw like quarterbacks? And really good just awareness overall. He takes good shots. Has a nice little floater, like runner floater from the like 10 to 15 foot range. Looks really nice. He's smooth. He's fluid. The ball is getting passed all over the court when he's around. Good ball movement. And I mean, you know what? If he was on a better team, he'd probably have 10 assists. But the surrounding cast is not exact. I mean, they're a solid team. They're what, like the 7-6 seed right now? But definitely not like, if he was on the Lakers, if he was on the Clippers, he'd be averaging like 10 or 11 assists. There's just some missed shots going on. That's my elevator pitch for LaMelo Ball as Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year.
Or not Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year. With LaMelo Ball, DPOY this year.
All right.
I'm calling it.
Well, you hit it right there. Braden said LaMelo. All right. Not for me. I used to agree. In fact, it was like 2 weeks ago. I agreed that LaMelo, Rookie of the Year, even through the injuries. But here, if we talk about going to Anthony Edwards, Anthony Edwards has played 66 games this year. Now keep in mind, we're not doing 82. He's only missed a few games.
Yeah, that's the one big case
against LaMelo.
We are 60-something games into the season. LaMelo's only played 44 games.
Yeah, do you know exactly how many games we are in the season? It's 60. He may have missed a game.
Depending on the team, we would be at 70, I think. 69 or 70.
Okay, so he's missed a few games, yeah.
What's he at?
66.
Yeah,
so he's only missed a few games.
4 games at most.
So, like I said, he's only missed a few games. Anthony Edwards, in my opinion, he's a better scorer than LaMelo. I'll give LaMelo, you know, the edge in assists and rebounds, right? But I can definitely say 100% Anthony Edwards is a better scorer than LaMelo Ball. I can also say that I think Anthony Edwards is a better defender than LaMelo Ball. Now,
yep. I can agree with both of those.
We're looking at Anthony Edwards' stats. He averages 19 a game. 19 a game, 2 turnovers, a steal, 3 assists, and 5 boards. Pretty good stats for our first season player, almost 20 a game. Then we go over, he shoots 77% from the line, which will have to get up. You know, only shooting side. He'll have to get that up at least to, I'd say, around 80%. Screen just moved. Effective field goal percentage, 48%. That's cool. 47% from the field. That's pretty good. Here's the thing. He attempts 7 threes a game, right? And he hits 2 of them. So that's a little off. But That'll get better as the season goes.
But then also, you look at his stats since, like, March, and he's been on a tear lately.
Yeah, he has.
Especially. He's been getting way better. Yeah.
Which, I mean, currently, from the three-point line, he's 32%. That's pretty bad. Or, well,
That's about league average.
Yeah, I was going to say.
A little bit worse than league. Yeah. It's like 3 percentage points worse. But really, I mean, it's that much of a difference.
I would say 33% is average. He's shooting 32. So
I will say LaMelo's shooting 37% from three. So that's way better.
That's what I was saying. He attempts 7 threes a game and makes about 2.
Yeah, LaMelo's also making 2 again.
Yeah.
He's making 1.9 on 5 attempts.
Yeah, so shooting 2 less shots, which I'm sure is what gives him the upper edge. But I also feel Anthony Edwards is still a better scorer just due to his athleticism alone. I mean,
I haven't seen LaMelo Ball dunk on anybody.
He dunked on Sabonis.
He did?
Remember?
I don't remember that.
Well, I think it was Sabonis.
Let me pull that up.
Maybe it wasn't. But you can look at LaMelo dunk poster. It was on the Pacers. It was like a putback. But, 31 minutes a game. I just feel like Anthony Edwards is more athletic. I feel like he reminds me more of a Russell Westbrook type player. But I feel like eventually he'll be able to shoot a little bit better. Like if I go to Anthony Edwards' stats recently, he's put up just yesterday against Memphis, he put up 42 points, 17 for 22, 6 boards, 7 assists. In that third quarter, he dropped, 30 points? Is that what it said? On 6 for 6 shooting from the 3?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Last night, he had an incredibly efficient
ridiculous
night. Like 40 points.
Yeah, 42 points. Yeah, 17 for 22 on total shooting.
Yeah.
Insane. Now, if we go back from April 16th dating to last night, he dropped 12 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, 23, 6, and 3, 28, 4, and 3, 16, 1, and 2.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean,
he has 20-point games almost every night now.
23, 9, and 4. He's almost had a few double-doubles. He was one board short 3 times.
Yeah.
So in the last 3 games, he dropped 42, 29, and 25. Like, he's been on a tear.
He's been playing incredibly. And so here's what I'll say about LaMelo Ball being better. Anthony Edwards, better scorer, definitely. I can't argue that with you. Maybe a little less efficient, but still a better scorer, I would say. If LaMelo Ball is more efficient, but he's scoring less points, then that means he's not confident enough in himself to be a 20-point-per-game scorer, or else he would be doing it. But I think that the ball movement LaMelo provides, I think that overall, what LaMelo brings to the court is so much better that he is the rookie of the year. He is the rookie that has the highest impact.
I agree. I do agree that LaMelo has more of an impact, and that's because I feel like LaMelo reminds me of a Chris Paul type player.
Yeah.
Minus the rebounding, but like LaMelo's a better rebounder. But he comes out and he will find his teammates, whether it's like straight off the board and like a full court pass. You know what I mean? Like he'll find the open teammate every single time where there's a little, you know, he's driving in, tosses it to a cutting teammate, I say he tosses it to Miles Bridges, oops to Miles Bridges. I love that about LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
I think that he does bring more to the team. The only problem, the main problem I have at this point with giving LaMelo Ball Rookie of the Year is that he's played almost 20 less games, it feels like, than Anthony Edwards has.
Yeah, that's one big thing.
That's unfortunate because of the injury. Without the injury, I'd say it's LaMelo.
That's the thing is that can you have the most impact if you missed a third of the season?
Yeah.
Which I would say that even in the time that he has been on the court, he's provided more impact. But I can also see that, I mean, when you're going to look at the final numbers for the season, LaMelo might even be lower in like assists because of those games that he missed.
Mm.
Which do you have his totals in front of you for
Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards, yeah. If you're on his basketball reference, it's like the second.
Yeah, I was on basketball reference. Yeah. I'll go.
He has 700 total points. LaMelo does. He has 170 assists, 160 rebounds, or 270 assists, 260 rebounds.
Wait, well, can you say it again?
So 700 points for LaMelo.
Mm-hmm.
How many does Anthony Edwards have?
He has, let me go over.
You're good.
He has 1,247.
Yeah. So 500 more points. Assists, LaMelo has 270.
For assists, 186.
Okay, so he's still ahead in assists. Rebounds, 260.
253.
Yeah.
Well, no, 307.
307. Yeah, 307. Yeah. You were looking at defensive rebounds. Yeah. Yeah. So even though LaMelo's averages are a little higher,
mm-hmm.
the numbers are still close for total. And I think that that might be one important thing, is that. But then another thing also, LaMelo started off the season coming off the bench. That's another thing. Is
that's true.
Since LaMelo's been, like, Anthony Edwards didn't have any time where he was coming off the bench. So it is just, there's a lot of different factors to factor into it. Again, I'm still taking LaMelo in this situation. And I think that Gavin, in saying that overall between bench play, missing time, Anthony Edwards has remained consistent this entire year, basically putting up the same numbers. Lately, he's been turning it up even higher than ever before. Looks like a superstar. I can see what you mean.
Yeah. I can see the same thing for you. I told you just a few weeks ago, I felt like LaMelo was the rookie of the year until I saw Anthony Edwards start to turn it up as of late.
Yeah.
And that's when I kind of like, you know,
and I'm,
clicked in my head.
Last night, that 40-point game, I was like, whew,
yeah.
maybe LaMelo's not all that.
It's very close. If LaMelo won Rookie of the Year, I would be happy. If Anthony Edwards won Rookie of the Year, I would be happy.
Yeah.
If anyone else won it, I would not be happy.
Yeah. If they somehow give it to James Wiseman?
What? Tyrese Halliburton?
Tyrese Halliburton? Yeah. What? Yeah. Either way, it's hard to go wrong in this year's top two.
It has to be. LaMelo or Anthony Edwards, either one.
This is going to be close.
It's going to be very close.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch, especially when we get to... What? His middle name is LaFrance? LaMelo LaFrance Ball.
LaFrance?
LaMelo LaFrance Ball. What?
I've never heard that name before. LaFrance?
That sounds fake.
That sounds like a nickname LeBron would have. I don't know why. It sounds like one. LaFrance.
That's hilarious. But, it's, and especially when they released the graph that shows who voted for who. Like last year when that one person had Zion over Ja Morant, the only person stopping him from being a unanimous MVP, or not MVP, Rookie of the Year. But, yeah, I can't wait to see that and see how many first place votes versus second place votes they get.
Yeah.
And I think our final thing that we have to do is our top 15 list, top 20 list.
Yep.
All right. Should we do just top five again in no particular order? You're like, they're roughly structured, right?
Do you want to do like, so 20 to 15, top five?
No, let's start top five and go down. That way you can
top five
or let's start 20 through 15. Who do you have?
All right. 20 through 15.
Or 20 through 16, I guess. That's five. So who's number 20 through 16 on your list?
20 through 16?
I can go first if you want.
You can go first,
okay. Number 20, I have Richard Jefferson, which that's the controversial one, is to put Richard Jefferson in my top 20. And again, this is not accolades-based. We're not going off how many defensive player of the years, MVPs, rings anybody has.
We're going off the best of basketball players that we think have... Play
if we were
top 20
if
best
we were making
players.
A roster and we had to draft from all NBA players, who would we put on our team first? And at 20, I have Richard Jefferson. At 19, Carmelo Anthony. 18, James Harden. 17, Dr. J. 16, Chris Paul.
You have Chris Paul at 16?
Yeah. I have him just slightly over Dr. J. And I think that might just be because I have actually seen Chris Paul play. It might be a slight bias thing.
All right. Well... Mine's going to go at 20, I have Dr. J. So I have Dr. J at 20.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go with, right after 20, I'm going to go with, I'm going to go Charles Barkley at 18. Because I think, we all know Charles Barkley. Now, I feel like that's kind of weird to say. But I feel like Charles Barkley, he was a great player. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. Also, real small to play. He was like a 6'6", 6'5", power forward. He was probably 6'5", and they lied and said he was 6'6". But he was about that, you know?
Yeah. And then I think, yeah. So then I'm going to go with, so I have, yeah, I said Dr. J, Charles Barkley. I'm going to go with Dirk. at 17.
Okay.
And Chris Paul 16.
Okay. Yeah. My 15 to 11, I have Charles Barkley, Dwayne Wade, Bill Walton, Steve Nash, and Dirk Nowitzki.
You have Dirk?
Yeah.
They're really low.
That's not low.
Well, no,
he's 11.
Yeah.
Almost top 10.
I'm at low as in like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, people, yeah. I don't know how to describe it. You know, you guys probably know what I mean. Like, some people say that's really high, some people say it's really low.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
It's right in the middle. I felt like, because then, I mean, like, I look at players above him, Steph Curry, Hakeem Olajuwon, LeBron James. I can't put him above any of them, I feel like. But then also, I can't put him below Bill Walton. You know?
Yeah.
But,
so, wait, this is 15 through 10. Is that what you
Yes, 15 okay. through 11.
Okay. 11. Okay. All right. Mine's going to be a little bit different than yours. I'm not going to lie, okay? Mine's going to be...
Whoa, Gavin put Michael Jordan at 13th overall.
How did you know?
Whoa, it is 12:40 o'clock. You are listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
All right.
I'm Braden Pittman. Across me from me is Gavin Miller. This is the Pick and Slip Show. We talk about NBA basketball.
Starting at 15, I'm gonna put Wilt Chamberlain at 15.
Okay. Wilt did not make my top 20 list.
I know you said Wilt didn't make your list.
Yeah.
I just feel like I have to put him in there.
I don't think that Wilt's game translates into today's NBA.
Yeah.
But I do think Wilt would still average 25 points per game because he's huge and fat. He'd be like Giannis. I can't think of a better equivalent to Giannis than Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah,
based on physical gift.
I feel like I have to put Wilt in there because even though I don't even fully know if Wilt was a real person. Like, was he even real? Like,
so many of the stories we hear about him, it's just like, what?
Like that. And Wilt Chamberlain doesn't even sound like a real person.
Yeah.
He sounds made up.
You say, what?
Sounds like my player.
100 meter dash and like set world records for it? What are you talking about?
Wilt Chamberlain sounds like a my player.
Yeah. It's insane. He's like the greatest athlete to ever live.
But semi's not the greatest basketball player to ever live.
Yeah, I mean, I think athlete, because I also don't think he'd be the best football player.
Well, yeah.
But just overall.
I mean, just going off, like, if you look at his stats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What he's done.
Keep going.
All right, so I had Wilt at 15. I'm going to put Bill Russell at 14, because I feel like I had to put them two players in. Bill Russell dominated his era, just like Will did. He's the only competition that Will had.
Do you have Bill Walton on yours at all?
No.
No?
Okay. I don't.
Okay.
I don't have Bill Walton on mine. I think 13, I'm going to put Oscar Robertson, 13. I'm kind of putting all like the, you know, these
big O.
The big O. I'm putting like these three players from all kind of right next to each other.
Yeah. 60s players. Black and 13. White film.
Yeah. 12, I'm going to go KG.
Kevin Garnett.
KG.
Oh, he
didn't make your list?
Yeah, no.
That's kind of crazy to me.
He probably would have been in the top 30.
That's kind of crazy in Mickey.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you
would take Bill Walton over KG.
Yeah. You must not have seen the Bill Walton.
I know Bill Walton more for saying some things.
You see where I have? I have Dirk Nowitzki, I have Steve Nash, I have Bill Walton, I have Dwayne Wade, I have Charles Barkley. I can't put Kevin Garnett over a single one of those guys. I can't justify putting Dwayne Wade underneath of Kevin Garnett or Charles Barkley, MVP. I think he had a scoring champion. Rebounded so good. I can't put Kevin Garnett over him. You know, that's just my thoughts. All right. Who else did you have in your 15 to 10 or 15 to 11?
So it was 13. So it is 12, right? We're on 12.
Yes.
All right. 12. Give me Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I'm going to put Tim Duncan at 12.
He was a little higher for me.
Yeah. You could definitely put him higher.
Yeah.
And then 11. You know what? At 11, give me...
Do you have Steve Nash on your list anywhere?
I didn't.
You didn't? Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Give me Larry Bird at 11.
Larry Bird. Okay, Larry didn't make my list. I'll be honest. I did not. I think that Larry Bird, when put against these other legends, like, I tended to skew younger as far as skill level goes. Just because I feel like the older players weren't as skilled at basketball.
If you look at it, right? You just saw I put mostly all those old players in the same. Right. And that whole list was almost dedicated to these older players.
Yeah.
That whole 15, because I feel like they should be. I feel like they are very good. And I feel like those players, some of those players.
Respect could, on their name.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of threw them all in that same little category right there. Like the Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, really good, Big O, Larry Bird.
Also, we don't know how good they'd be playing against. Because, I mean, any player in the NBA history put against Hakeem Olajuwon, I'm taking Hakeem.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody put against LeBron, except Hakeem, I'm taking LeBron. And, like, my top five players, I consider them to be the only dudes that are truly unstoppable. And I'll just tell you right now, Shaq, Hakeem, Kobe, Michael, and LeBron. They're unstoppable. None of them have ever faced any hardship in their NBA careers. They have been truly unstoppable from day one until the day they retired. Well, Shaq in his later years could be stopped. But even Kobe on his last day dropped 60. So, I think that those are more modern NBA players. I mean, Michael Jordan, not really a modern NBA player, but compared to Wilt Chamberlain, like, Michael Jordan could dribble with his left hand, is what I'm saying. Which, I mean, even John Stockton couldn't do. You know that? John Stockton had no left. My dad refuses to believe me. He has John Stockton as one of his favorite players. John Stockton had no left. You can count on one hand how many times John Stockton's driven to the left.
I can. I'm not gonna say I don't believe you. I mean, I'm not gonna say I don't believe you. Because I'm.
And then
he probably did it.
10 to 6. I have Kevin Durant, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tim Duncan, and Steph Curry.
All right, 10 to 6. Yeah, so I'm 10. Give me. Yeah, years aren't in order, right?
They are and they aren't.
Some of them are.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could put Kareem on over Tim Duncan. I could put Magic over Steph if I, just depending on the day. But right now I have Steph at 6, KD at 10.
Okay. Is Steph at 6?
Yeah.
I feel like, all right, so I'm going to go, I don't know if this one's going to be in a particular order. I might say.
Whoa, did I not put Allen Iverson on here?
That's what I was thinking.
Allen Iverson's at 12.
All right, I'm going to go.
Steve Nash is at 13. Richard Jefferson's at 21.
Oh, I didn't realize Richard Jefferson didn't even make it.
No, push down everybody that was under 12. Down one more spot because I can't put Allen Iverson not over Steve Nash. Mm. He's Allen Iverson. Who's your top five so that I can get a feel of what yours was versus mine?
My top five?
Yeah.
All right, so my top five is MJ. Okay. Not at five. I'm not saying MJ is five. MJ, LeBron, Kobe.
Okay.
Shaq. Yeah, give me Shaq, and then give me Kareem.
Kareem. Oh, I like
it was
that.
Either Kareem or Hakeem. But
this is what I was thinking. I was thinking about, like, best basketball players of all time, and I didn't know how to rank Kareem because he is the highest scorer of all time. Mm. He had that unguardable shot, but then also, again, he's in the 80s, and I almost consider 80s to be part of the 70s and 60s in terms of, like, how we hardly consider 60s players to be the pinnacle of skilled basketball. Mm. I feel like 80 was just when people were starting to have any sort of skill. And that's why it's real hard for me to put him there. But then also, I mean, that big man game transitions really well. A big man that can shoot from 15 feet out, that skyhook, I mean, that translates really well. And that's, I had him at 8, but again, depending on the week, I could have him at top 3.
I could put those guys in order, though. Like, if I wanted to, I would probably put, if we're going off skill, Shaq at 5. Because Shaq is huge. I mean, he's just, you know, he backs people down and dunks on them. That's what he does for a living. But those top 5 in order, I'm going to go Shaq at 5, Kareem. And then this right here is Kobe, LeBron, and Jordan. But I feel like since I think Jordan is the greatest player of all time, in my opinion, I feel like that means I have to put Kobe at 2nd, right? It doesn't. This, like, I feel like I have to, because Kobe is identical to Jordan in every way, considering that Kobe looked up to Jordan and just basically said, here, I'm going to copy and paste his moveset to mine.
Right.
And I'm going to be him. And
he did it.
And he did it. So I feel like I have to put Kobe at second if I think Jordan's the best, because it's this, they just copy and pasted their movesets. It's
so crazy. Out of everybody who says, I model my game after blah, 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 Kobe's the only one that ever, did it.
And then I feel like...
And then also had 5 rings to go along with
it. I feel like he just copied, and Kobe's great. Kobe's, like I said, I put him at 2. I think Kobe took Jordan's game, right? Because that's what he watched. That's who grew up watching. That's who he learned, right?
Yeah.
And he took it, used it, and then Jordan, during Jordan's time when he played him, then he used the same thing into the modern NBA, and it works. So I feel like does that not prove that Jordan's play style works?
Okay, but
Jordan will become a better shooter.
But then also we can prove that LeBron's play style works.
Yeah, we can.
Because it works.
Yeah, I mean, I already know that works too.
People always complain, and this is, we've talked about this a million. People complain about LeBron James flopping and stuff like that, or that he's not physical enough. And you look at LeBron James, who is an absolute, just a massive, just huge. LeBron James is huge. People think that he wouldn't survive in the 80s and 90s. Have you seen Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan is 6'6". Especially in his younger days, he was thin. He was a spindly little kid. LeBron James, from his second season, has been massive. Who you really think that Bill Walton, or not Bill Walton? What's the guy that was on the Pistons?
Bill Laimbeer.
Bill Laimbeer. You think Bill Laimbeer would really come at LeBron? Bill Laimbeer was coming at everybody, but you think Bill Laimbeer would try to throw a punch at LeBron and see what's going to happen afterwards? Because I'll tell you, there's very few people in the world that I would want to punch me, but LeBron James is top 5 people, or if he punched me, I would probably die just immediately. I've seen Shaquille O'Neal throw a punch. He can't punch. I'm as afraid as I am of his gigantic hands. He's not a good puncher. LeBron James, we've never seen him in an actual fight, and I am scared to see what would happen if he was in the 80s or 90s and there was a fight that broke out. Can you imagine LeBron at Malice at the Palace?
Malice at the Palace. LeBron's there.
Yeah.
Just throwing punches.
Jermaine O'Neal, he slid and missed that one punch. Can you imagine if it was LeBron instead and he didn't slip and he just punched a guy? His jaw would be gone. But, yeah, I don't know. I think saying that LeBron couldn't hold up to 80s and 90s NBA is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Considering how big he is.
Yeah. I think, real fast, my 10 through 5. Wait, you run over your 10 through 5 really fast?
It was Kevin Durant, Magic Johnson, Kareem, Tim Duncan, and Steph.
Yeah, mine's kind of similar. I had Tim Duncan at 12 or 11. So mine, Tim Duncan just barely doesn't make that top 10 for me. But I'm going to have to put, or you know what? You could put Tim Duncan at 10 and throw Allen Iverson at 11 and push back one every spot. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. Put Allen Iverson at 11. Throw Tim Duncan at 10, okay?
Okay.
Push everyone back one. So it would probably go no particular order. It would probably go Allen Iverson, KD.
Yeah. Magic. You didn't mention Magic.
Yeah, Magic. Steph.
Yeah. Tim. It's crazy that Steph's in that conversation. You look at Steph, his rookie year. Can you imagine if somebody was like, he'll be in your top 10 by the end of his career?
Yeah.
And he changed the game.
He did.
Nobody else can shoot the way he shoots. And, I mean, as far as this list goes, we extended out to 30. I think Damian Lillard's going to be on there. I think Russell Westbrook's going to be on there. I think that we have been blessed so far as to watch an incredible era of basketball. And I think that it's only getting better. Jokic is probably going to end up on there by the end of his career. Joel Embiid, for some reason, I feel like I could never put in my top best players. Same thing with Patrick Ewing, because no matter how good they are, they still, classic center games are always a thing that can get shut down. All you have to do is have another big center. And while there's players that definitely, Hakeem Olajuwon, I had in my top five. Shaq, I had in my top five. They couldn't be stopped because they were transcendent. But Joel Embiid, like, he doesn't bring anything we've never seen before. He's a seven-footer. He's huge. He can shoot. We don't see that combination of shooting and being that size, but it's not like he's a great shooter or anything. It's just, like, Joel Embiid, as good as he is, can be stopped, has been stopped. And while we're now looking at a NBA season where he hasn't been stopped this season, this playoffs, he might not be stopped. Just, I mean, at his size, with his skill set, there will always be somebody to stop him at some point, you know? Like, Anthony Davis versus Joel Embiid, I think that's a fair matchup, you know?
Yeah.
And then you look at Anthony Davis, who I do think will end up on this list. He's a way better shooter. He can dribble with the ball, face up, dribble against you, hit a step back three in your face. Joel Embiid can try that in the All-Star game. He's not going to do it in a real game. He can't do that in the finals. Anthony Davis will. Anthony Davis will look you in the eyes while he's dribbling, do a step back and hit a three on you, like against the Mavericks when he hit that buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Anthony, and then also guard positions two through five.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I think that, like, bigger centers, and I mean, again, Patrick Ewing, like, incredible basketball player. There are so many other players I would take above him. Because Steve Nash versus Patrick Ewing in terms of who I'm drafting, or like if I have to pick one of those players, Steve Nash, I think, adds more than Patrick Ewing. He's not a great defender, but he's given you 13 assists a game. Like, I don't know. Neither one won a ring, so.
I think what we should do, honestly, we did that one off of, like, skill. You think we should just do one?
Do one off accolades?
We're doing off accolades?
I would.
So was that your top 20 best NBA players of all time?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, 21 because I forgot Allen Iverson in there. And Kevin Garnett's probably. It's real hard to judge, you know?
Yeah.
But yes, in terms of, like, if you had a roster of every NBA player in their prime and I got to draft to start making my team, these would be the players that would be on my draft board.
Yeah. I feel like mine was a little weird, but
it's always weird having to balance between giving proper respect and then also doing what your gut tells you.
Because that's the same thing, cuz I feel like
I tell myself, like, Bill Russell is one of the best defenders of all time. He would have averaged if you go back and look at what people have charted, he averaged like 6 blocks a game, blah, blah, blah. He was also playing against dentists and doctors and, like, dudes who had full-time jobs other than basketball.
The thing is about, like, Wilt Chamberlain, I don't like putting players that I haven't seen play so high unless unless it's like Michael Jordan. Unless it's Michael Jordan. Like,
yeah, it's really, and even then, like, we have good comprehensive records of what him and Hakeem and looking at other players, Kareem, even Magic Johnson, we can look at a good amount of their tape, but go back a little further than that, like early 80s, 70s, we don't have a lot of tape.
That's not that's more specific. That's not really what
Oscar Robertson. I can never see a full Oscar Robertson game.
What I just said about, like, besides Michael Jordan, that mainly if it's in the 60s and 70s, I don't like putting those players so high on my list. Yeah, I mean, I don't like putting them top 5 or top 10 because I mean,
it's perfectly reasonable for you to not do that because you think about, like, Oscar Robertson, I guarantee he couldn't make a left-handed layup 50% of the time. He was a great passer, great rebounder. This was a totally different, they were still playing on peach baskets. Like, it's a different game. They didn't have a 3-point line. Bill Russell never played on a court with a 3-point line, and he probably never played with another 7-footer. Like, it's
besides Will, or against Will.
Yeah, but, like, you can't reasonably say that those dudes are going to. And I mean, it's unfair to the current players to say that have put in the amount of work they have. Do you think that Oscar Robertson put in the same amount of work as Steph Curry? I doubt it, because if Oscar Robertson would. If you put Steph Curry in 1960 and add even without a three-point line, he's averaging 70. Like, there is no... Who's guarding Steph Curry in 1960?
I mean, nobody's guarding Steph Curry right now, is it?
Nobody's guarding Steph Curry right now, where him play. LeBron... Can you imagine you drop LeBron James into 1972 NBA? It's over. Like, you could put 85-year-old LeBron James on that court, and he's still dunking on people. He's playing, the tallest dude in the NBA in 1972 was going to be Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, and then after that, the guy's 6'4".
I do think if you threw in, a player like Kobe, LeBron, or Jordan in that era,
they're giving you 100 every night.
It probably would.
It'd be like going against the rec league team at the YMCA. It's nothing.
I cannot imagine if you dropped Kobe in that era.
Yeah.
What would happen?
Can you imagine Jordan, what the crap he would talk to his teammates in that era? Gary Clark on a 1972 team, he's competing for MVP.
You think that?
Yes.
I don't know about that. Gary Clark?
Yeah, Gary Clark. DJ Augustine in 1972 is the best player in the league.
That's a lie.
He can dribble with his left hand. Nobody would have any clue what to do
at that point,
when he drives left one play and then drives right the next time. Nobody would... What? What is he doing? Did he just dribble in between his legs?
I think...
Jerry West, so much respect to him. The logo looks like your grandpa dribbling.
I don't know. I don't know if I would take it that far. I do feel like if I threw in LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, Steph, KD, it would probably be pretty bad.
No, I'm any modern NBA, any NBA player besides Ben Simmons is giving them buckets every single day of the week. This is WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
I do think that if you threw in a player in that era, because I can see Bob Cousy, Sam Jones, Casey Jones, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and then I don't know. I think Will and Bill Russell are doing fine. Jerry West is doing fine.
I did a random NBA player picker, and it gave me Damian Dotson and Buddy Hield. And you give me those two players and put them on 1972. It's a championship team. Damian Dotson is going to give every single guard so much ish.
That's a lot.
Damian Dotson can dribble with both hands, behind his back, in between his legs. I think that I could go back to 1972 and I wouldn't win a ring. I would probably not even be in the MVP conversation. I'd be a top five player in the league. They've never seen anybody throw a behind the back pass.
That's a lie, Brad. You gassed yourself too much on that. That was a big lie.
Imagine me on Wilt's team. Know. Imagine me and Wilt teaming up. We'd be gods.
Will would carry you. You wouldn't touch the ball, Brayden.
No, I'd be giving him assists. I'd be passing him the ball. Have 50 assists again.
Will would take the ball and drop 50 points and 30 boards.
Yeah.
Per usual.
I'd have 45 assists.
Back then, Will's dropping 50 points and 30 boards.
You think I could break somebody's ankles in 1965?
I don't know. Probably not. They're still basketball players. They're still basketball players. But you're not a basketball player.
Yeah, I'm a 17-year-old.
They were still basketball players back then.
Yeah.
Even though it's they're not
I don't know.
Michael Jordan.
It's hard to judge over eras.
It's hard to do when you never saw it, especially when it's so far back. But then again, I didn't see any of the 80s or 90s. But I can still firmly say that players from the 80s and 90s, certain players from the 80s and 90s are still playing in this game, but I can also firmly still say that players from this era, certain players from this era are competing in the 80s and 90s, no matter how aggressive. Because if you're truly good at here's what I say. If you're truly good at basketball, if you are actually very good at basketball and you go to a different era, your game's going to translate.
Yeah.
You're going to be good in that era.
Yeah.
I mean, going to...
Joe Johnson in any era is still going to give you 20 tonight.
If Wilt... And we all know Wilt's stat line. Wilt doesn't even seem like a real person. He seems like a created 2K player. If Wilt... I'm sure Wilt will translate to this game. 100%. Yeah. There's no way you go out. I don't care who you play. If you're dropping 50 points, 30 boards, if you're dropping 100 points, 60 points, 30, I don't care what you're doing. You are going to translate to this NBA.
Yeah.
He's just going to be Giannis 2.0. If he's that fast, that as good as he was, he's going to be like a Giannis 2.0. He's just going to run around the court and dunk on everyone. That's what's going to happen. It's exactly what's going to happen. I think if you put Curry back then, no one knows. No one today can guard Steph Curry. He's just going to run around the court and shoot like a maniac. If you put Jordan in today's NBA, he's Michael Jordan. You think he's going to do bad? If you think Michael Jordan, if you're one of those people who think Michael Jordan can't compete in today's NBA, you're insane.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Because Kobe literally Kobe watched Jordan. He said, I'm going to hit copy and paste this moveset, shoot a little bit better. And then, he used it in that era. Kobe's a top 3 player all time. Easy. He did it in both eras. That's that.
Yeah, it's hard to say anything else.
If you're good at basketball, you're good at translating any era. That's just how it is. But that's all I have to say. I don't know if you have anything else left to say.
I think that is everything for the day.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. So, thank you guys so much for listening. We are on every single Thursday, usually 12 to 1, usually what time you always get on.
Yeah.
I'm Gavin. Thanks, Brayden, for being on the show. Per usual, you're on the show every single... You're always on here.
We
thought it was going to be a few-time thing. No, it's permanent.
Yeah.
Forever.
We're partners.
We do the show together now. So, that's all I have to say. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be on next Thursday, 12 to 1. But that's all for us today. This will be up on Audio Boom. If you guys missed any of the previous podcasts, you can go to WBDG Indy on Audio Boom. Check out this one or any of our past ones if you guys did miss. Thank you guys.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter.
At Pick and Flip Show.
Almost forgot to do that. But thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you guys next Thursday. Peace.